All right. We knew today would be full, and so good for you that the word is simple today. The word today is just very simple. It's enthroned, okay? And I want to go back and I want to read that verse to you in Psalms 24, because I believe that this is the day that we have an opportunity to enthrone God upon our hearts, that maybe there are even those in the room and you've received salvation, but somewhere along the line you lost the fact that God is the very value of your heart. He's the thing that you value most, the thing that your heart longs for. And so there's an opportunity for us to once again open our hearts to the Lord. And so in Psalms 24, I want to begin in verse 6. It says, "This is the generation of those who seek Him." And I've heard often that people will say, "I believe that a revival is going to start here. I believe that a revival is going to start there." And they'll pick an age group. And we seem to always love to say that there's a revival that's going to break out in among our youth. And I believe this, that the glory of God is going to fill all the earth. And He's going to break out on all mankind. And anybody who wants to enthrone God upon his heart will receive revival. And so it doesn't matter to me if you're 8 years old or you're 88 years old. I believe that revival will come when our hearts are turned, and we're in the midst of it. We're in the midst of it. I'm not looking for it to come one day. I'm in the midst of it right now because I made a decision. I've tasted of the goodness of God, and I don't think there's anything else that can satisfy me like that. Once He's been enthroned on your heart, you say, nothing else will satisfy me. And all the things that used to matter, they don't seem to matter as much anymore. And so I'm not looking for revival as much as I am wanting to walk in it and live in it. And so I would tell you that we are the generation. Do you hear me? We are the generation of those who seek Him, who seek His face. You remember what Moses said? "I want to see You. I want to see Your glory." And what did God show him? God said, "I'm going to let My goodness pass before You, and I'm going to let My compassion pass before You." If we are going to experience God in the fullness of His presence, you got to know His goodness and you got to know His compassion. And if you don't know those, then I want to invite you to enthrone Him in your heart as the God of glory. Let's keep going. It says, "Lift up your head, O gates, and be lifted, O ancient doors." You have to picture in the time that this is written that you would build a city. And as you would build a city, you would build a wall around that city in order to protect. And sometimes there would be natural barriers. It would be mountains or cliffs or whatever. But they would build a wall in order to fortify the city. But things happened in the city. People had to pass in and out of the city. And so they would put gates up at various places for people to enter in. Now here's the thing about that gate. That gate is vulnerable. Because you don't put a gate on the side of a cliff because you can't get the ox in. You can't get the donkeys in. You can't get the food and the grain in. And so there's business and there's commerce that's taking place within the city. So when you put the gate in, you have to put it at a low place, at a flat place, where it's easy for things to come in and out of. And it makes that particular area very vulnerable. It's because that's where really everything happens. When people attack, they don't attack the side on the cliff. They don't attack the side where the wall is. They attack the gate. Why? Hear me well. Whoever controls the gate controls the city. You hear that? Write that down. Put that in your mind somewhere. Whoever controls the gate controls the city. What else went on around those gates? Those gates were busy places. It's places where business and commerce, where things were traded, and so they were buying and selling. It's where the elders would meet, and they would make decisions on behalf of the people. And so if you wanted to know what was going on, you would go to the gate, and that's where everybody gathered. If there was news that had to be passed along, they didn't send out a tweet, and they didn't send out a Facebook post. You went to the gate. Because that's where everybody was. And that's how the news would spread. And there would be a place where the king would come. And when the king wanted to rule the people and he wanted to talk to the people, he maybe wanted to pass some type of law on behalf of the people, there he would stand at the gate. And so all of these things are happening And at that gate, you would always have the fortress right there. You would have armament on either side of the gate because you had to make sure that at night you closed the gate because you didn't want the enemy to slip in the middle of the night. Oh, does anybody see where I'm going with this? Do you see? If there was danger, you would want to make sure that as quick as possible you could close that gate to keep the enemy out. And so there were armaments around those gates to protect what's going in and coming out, because you have to get in and you have to get out and you have to protect. You have gates. Do you realize that? You have gates. You have gates, your eyes. That's a gate in which things can enter in and out of. Some good, some bad, right? And what you see can begin to affect the way you think. And then what you think begins to affect how you feel. This one may be even more important, and that's the things that you hear. That's a gate. Do you realize the things that you hear, the things that you listen to, they become gates where thoughts enter in, and then thoughts turn into emotions. And in case you didn't know, one of the most important people that you listen to is yourself. Did you know that? Yeah, you think you may be influenced by other people? You are incredibly influenced by what you say. Be careful what you say, because it begins to affect your thoughts and it begins to affect your emotions. And so then all the traffic that comes in and out of your life begins to be ruled by what is ruling the gate. And so what is ruling the gate? We want it to be Christ. We want it to be the Lord God enthroned upon the gate. And so I want to invite you to do just what it says right here. Lift up your head, O gates, your heart. It's a gate. Lift your head and your heart. Lift it up that the King of glory may come in, that we might enthrone Him on His place, that we put Him in the right place on our heart. Who is the King of glory? He is the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Now let me give you a little bit of history. David is writing this psalm, and he's writing at the moment that the ark is coming back to Jerusalem. This is a big day. If you've not been with us before, a little bit of history. I got to do this very fast. Okay, so this is the very fast history of Psalms 24. Before David was king, Saul was king, and there was fighting that's going on, and there's this ark. It's a chest. It carries the very presence of God. Now we have the Holy Spirit, and He's been poured out into everybody's heart. Okay? So there is no ark, there is no chest. If anything, you are the dwelling place of God. Okay? But He dwelt in this ark, and it never failed that if Israel did not protect their relationship with God, bad things happened. If they didn't enthrone Him in their hearts, even like us today, if they didn't enthrone Him, bad things happened. And here's what they would do. The ark would actually go out in front of them in battle. They would take it with them in battle. And so one day, they've turned their heart from God. The priests get killed. The ark gets taken. There's a young woman who is pregnant. She ends up giving birth out of the pain. Her husband is the priest, one of the priests. And she names the child Ichabod. The glory is gone. The presence was gone. And so now, he's not ruling in the hearts of Israel. But David becomes king. And he begins to fight against the Philistines, and he begins to make peace for the people of Israel. And it's time now to get this ark back and to bring it back into the city. Ooh, can you imagine that day that people are excited because God is coming back? One of the most exciting things for me is when I see people turn their hearts back to God. One of the most exciting things for me is to hear Marky say, you know what, I got a little sideways. I appreciate your honesty, Marky. You're not the only one in the room that ever got sideways. You know, let's just be honest. There are times that we get sideways. We mess up and we can spiral if we're not careful. And so one of the most beautiful things for me is when somebody throws open their heart again and says, I got to put God back in the right place. Or when somebody who has never had God in their heart says, I got to open my heart to God. It is time. And as you enthrone Him upon your heart, I want to let you know who's coming in. You see, you're not just getting a God who saves you and then you're done. I tell you over and over again, and if you're new to this, salvation is not the end. Salvation is the beginning. Salvation is the starting point. It just gets better from there, doesn't it, Miss Joyce? Miss Joyce is 80-something glorious, 86 glorious years. All right, is it better with God today or when you were first saved? It's just richer and richer, right? It's richer and richer. Why? Because when God comes in, He says, I'm going to establish myself. Now you might ask, well, who is He and what is He going to establish? We've been posting things to our Facebook page, the names of God, so that people might be reminded, because this is God's opportunity. He says, this is who I am. I want you to know me, and you will know me through my names. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to enthrone God in these ways upon our hearts. Do you want to see God change Chester? Do you want to see God change South Carolina? How about the United States? How about to feel His glory, to feel the earth? Sometimes we want Him to do all those things, but we're not prepared to enthrone Him upon our heart first. Do you realize that before we can enthrone Him upon any person or any place, we've got to first enthrone Him upon our own heart? And so I want to begin to read these, begin to allow you to let this settle in. You might have to go back and look at these. I find that most people only know God in about three or four ways, unless they make an effort to enthrone Him upon their heart. And then the entire books of the Bible open up and God begins to reveal Himself. So I'm going to read these over you right now. And we're going to enthrone God upon our hearts. And I'm going to walk around you. All right? He is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is the God of peace. He is Jehovah Makadesh. He is the God who sanctifies us. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the God who heals. He is Jehovah Nisi. He is God, our banner. He is El Shaddai. He is all-sufficient God. He is Adonai. He is our master and He is our Lord. He is Elohim. He is strength and He is power. He is our intercessor. He intercedes for us. He is our comforter. He comforts us. He is faithful God. He keeps His promises over us. He is Jehovah. He is the God that I am, that I am. He is Father. God is my daddy. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He is immutable. He always is, always was, always will be. He is Jehovah Rohi, the Lord, my shepherd. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is El Rohi, the God who sees me. He is Jehovah Shema, the Lord who is here. He is Jehovah Sidkenu. He is the Lord, our righteousness. He is El Yashuati, the God of my salvation. And we're just getting started. There's countless names of God in Scripture that remind us of who He is, that promises us what He will do and who He will be for us. When there is a need in your life, I assure you that God is the answer and that He wants to enthrone Himself upon our hearts. And so there is a battle that is fought. And you know that I don't like to give much attention to the enemy, because I think that the more attention you give to the enemy, the stronger he grows. You ever been in a prayer meeting where you start praying and before you get done, you've so exhausted Satan that you walk out of there afraid and discouraged and defeated? You ever been a part of one of those? Yeah, me too. I don't ever want to be a part of one of those. You know, it's like we went in there to pray and somehow we exalted Satan. How did that happen? You know? I want to be in prayer meetings where we exalt God, and I see that happening among us, that there are times now where we're just sitting in His presence. Sometimes you might ask, why in the world did they stop singing and just sit there for so long? Because we just want to be in His presence. because things change when we're in the presence of God. And so there's a battle. There are gates in your life, and there's battles. And so Satan comes in, and that's why he lies. And that's why he tries to get us into disobedience, so that then he can fill us with guilt and condemnation. You ever felt any of that? Yeah. He wants to put fear in us, because as traffic comes in and out of our life, it's a beautiful thing to the enemy if he can make us afraid in every interaction in our life, if he can cause anxiety in every area of life. He is the one who steals, kills, and destroys, and so he tries to bring destruction so that we might turn from God. He brings other words, these traditions of men, where we value what other people say more than we value the opinion of God. When we say, you know what? I just believe God believes this about things. You know what? Who cares what we think? You know, our opinion doesn't matter. It is the Word of God that matters. We need to quit saying, I just believe God is this way. Well, if you can't find it in the Bible, then stop saying it. You know, it's dangerous to give our own opinions about things. That's above our pay grade. Okay? We need to find it in the Word. And then these other things, these distractions, whatever they may be, you can know right now. You literally can. Just look at your heart and say, what is the focus of my heart? What is it right now that has my attention? What is it right now that has the focus of my thoughts and my emotions? And if that is not God, then there is the opportunity right now, to put him back where he belongs, at the very center of your heart. That begins to explain why we do things the way we do them at church. I want to end up that way. I've often wondered, I said, I bet church makes no sense to a person that's lost. You know, I bet it's the craziest looking thing that anybody's ever seen. You know, why do we do the things that we do? Why do we preach the Word? Because you need to know Him in all of His ways. I really don't want to make you real smart in your head. I've never been excited about that. I don't want to make you smart in your head. I want to make you a practitioner of the gospel, so that when someone says, do you know God? You say, oh yeah, I know Him. And then you start unraveling the very nature of God right in their presence. And something about you, they go, you know what? I think I've known about Him, but that young lady, she knows Him. You look at somebody and say, you know that guy? I think I know God a little bit, but that guy seems to genuinely love God. There's a difference. And so the Word of God is to transform us. Why do we sing? Especially when you can't even sing sometimes, right? That's my dilemma, you know? I'm like, why do we do something I'm not even good at, you know? But let me tell you what singing does. Singing is an expression of our thanksgiving. And as we begin to thank God, we begin to see Him more. Did you hear that? As we begin to thank God, we begin to see Him more. You ever notice when you're not thankful, what are you seeing? All the stuff that's going wrong, right? Yep. That's right. All the stuff that's broken. And what thankfulness does is it is a tool that helps guard the gate that says, I am going to consciously, even when I don't feel like it, I am going to look for God. There are sometimes we sing because we believe it. I imagine when we sang today, you're a good, good father. I imagine that there were some people that said, man, yeah, he is a good, good father. Yes. Do you know that there are times you have to sing in order to convince yourself that He is what you're singing? You ever had to do that? You know, there are times where you walk in, you're like, I lost sight of goodness somehow. Okay, so I'm going to start singing, you're a good, good father. I don't believe that. And you sing it again, you're a good, good father. You ever wonder why we repeat a song so many times? You're sitting there going, I don't know why they sing the same line 12 times. You know, because sometimes we're trying to convince ourselves. That's exactly right. You know, we got to sing it enough. It's like, it's true. We're just singing it until we believe it. We're going to stay here until it settles into our heart. I was talking to one of you a minute ago, and she said, my granddaughter said that when she was young, she had God in her head, but she decided that she wanted Him in her heart. There are times that we understand the goodness of God in our head, But it really doesn't do you any good until it settles into your heart. And so we sing and we thank God and we praise God and we worship God. Why? Because it guards our gates and it helps to protect us so that we see what God is doing, not what we think He's not doing. Why do we pray? We pray not so we can give a laundry list to God, not so we could shadow box the enemy. That's important. I don't have time to explain that. But there's a movement in the church where we love to shadow box the enemy, you know, and we're just fighting poverty, you know, and we're just like, we're like Christians, we're like Rocky, you know, we're like, we're going after poverty, and we're going to cast out poverty in Jesus' name. I told the folks last night, I said, I don't know how many people I've seen want to cast poverty out of Chester. You know what we need to do? We need to quit shadow boxing the devil, and we need to start being generous. I got no amen. That was good. That was you might not even know how good that is. You know? But there are times we just shadow boxing it. We're gonna defeat poverty. And poverty, you just get out in Jesus' name, and we plead the blood over poverty, and we go back and live just as selfishly as we've ever lived. Why? Because the God who provides is not enthroned upon our hearts, and if He's not enthroned upon our hearts, He will not be translated to anybody else's heart. That's why if poverty is going to end in this community or any other community, I will tell you, you will do it not by shadow boxing the enemy, but by understanding that God is good and that God provides and beginning to live your life in that fashion. I preached myself happy again right there. I got to hurry up and end this thing. The fellowship that we have with each other. I've heard people say, well, I don't have to go to church in order to be a Christian. You sure don't. But I've never seen a real healthy one that didn't have a group of believers around their life. I don't know about you, but I need you guys. Can I just say that? Can I just say that I need you guys? I need your love. I need your encouragement. I need to know that we can address things together. And I don't know how any of you could say that you can just do this thing all by yourself. I don't know how, because one, we weren't meant to. We're the body of Christ. We're individual members, yes, but we're part of a body. And so fellowship guards the gates, because there are times you just get beat up. And if you're not careful, what will happen is God will remove you from the church. You know why? Because you ever watched the Animal Planet? Huh? You ever watched the Animal Planet? The lion never goes and jumps in the herd. You ever notice that? He never goes and jumps in the herd. What does he do? One poor little calf over there all by itself. You know, little one, just new in the faith, that kind of thing. He'll go jump on that one. Old ox been around about 150 years. All the hair done fell off of him, you know. And he goes and jumps on that old one. You know, he jumps on the ones that are by themselves. We are the body of Christ. And being together guards our gates. Y'all are receiving this. That's good. So that is why being together is important. And that's why services are geared the way they are. It's why no matter where you go, you're going to get virtually the same things. Why? Those are the tools that guard our gates. Now, some of you may say, I feel so good when I'm at church. And then I go home, right, into the world. And you're like, what in the world happened? You know, it was great. What happened? Because you sat around and let me talk about God. and I focused your attention on God for about 35 minutes every week or so, something like that. I focus your attention on God, and I tell you the nature of God, and it begins to fill your spirit with not your lack, but with the provision of God. And we sing about the goodness of God, and so it lifts your spirit, and it guards your gates. And if you want to maintain that, you can. Don't let anybody tell you that life is just full of these ups and downs, and sometimes you're going to be discouraged and in the dumps, and you really can't live in the presence of God. I would say that's hooey. Yes, you can. And the way you can is by looking and saying, who is enthroned on my heart? And the moment that you realize that He is not, then put Him back in His rightful place. And so I am thoroughly convinced that we can live in the glory and the presence of God. And so here's what we're going to do. But I want to give you the opportunity that if you look at the seat of your heart and you find that Christ is not there, that He's not, that you didn't guard the gate, and fear or frustration, whatever it may be, is there. I want to give you the opportunity to put Jesus Christ, open up your heart, put Him back as Lord of everything. If you need to give your life to the Lord for the very first time, then I'll be here, and I'll be here after the service. But here is our assignment. We want to enthrone God upon our hearts, because we cannot enthrone Him on Chester. We cannot enthrone Him anywhere else until He is enthroned on our hearts. Let's sing. If you are listening to this sermon series and would like to have someone pray for you, or you'd like to ask some questions, or you just need someone to talk to, please feel free to give us a call at 803-581-2070. Thank you.